David, and certainly glad that David was able to be here this morning to lead us in these beautiful hymns of praise. We appreciate you very, very much, David, and appreciate all of you for joining together with us in worship this morning. I did want to announce also that Randy Foreman is preaching in Jacksonville this morning. They lost their preacher. He moved to South Texas, and Randy will be preaching over there for some time, indefinitely, actually. And Linda will be here on Sunday morning with us, and she'll be with him on Sunday evening. But we want to continue to pray for them and that effort as well. You know, the Bible is such a wonderful, wonderful book. It is the book. As a matter of fact, the word Bible means book. It's from the Greek word biblos, and it actually means the book. And this book, as we know it, is filled with great truth. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Now, one of the great characters of the Old Testament is a man that you don't really think about too much. You've read about him, no doubt. You perhaps do not know much about his mother or his father because there's not much said in the Bible about this man's mother or father. His name was Samson. And all of us remember the story of Samson and his hair, and we remember the story of Samson and Delilah. But do you know much about his father, Manoah? Probably not. Really, because there's not much said in the Bible about Manoah. As a matter of fact, his mother is not even so named in the Bible. You know, it's not uncommon to read through the Scripture about sterile women actually giving birth to children. Those that have never even had children or could have children. The mother of Samson was such a woman. But God revealed unto Manoah that she was going to have a child. And the Bible says that this Manoah went before God and asked that question, how shall we order the steps of the child? Judges 13 and verse 12. You know, I've often thought, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we knew that we were anticipating the birth of a child, that we would go before God and say, God, how do you want me to direct them? What do you want me to teach them? What is it that you want me to do with this child? How shall I order the steps of my child? You know, if we did that, it probably would change the perception that we have about children. I know it would change the perception that we all have about our own responsibility before God. This morning, I want to share with you this morning seven things that you should know about training your children. You know, a lot of times people never really stop to think about what God wants us to do. We just rear up our children and we just do what comes natural instead of really going back to the Bible and saying, how does God want me to order or guide the steps of my children? Number one, I would tell you the importance of ordering the child's step. You know, the child is God-given. In the book of Psalms 127, the Bible says in verse 3 that children are a heritage from God. God gave you your children. Now you say, well, no, we just conceived and brought forth a son or a daughter and they're here and we don't know what to do with them. I'm going to tell you something. If you have a child today, it is because God gave you that child. All children are a heritage of the Lord. They are God-given. And you and I have the responsibility to order the child right, according to Proverbs 22 and verse 6. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he shall go, and then when he is old, he will not depart from it. Children have within them a soul that is worth more than the whole world. For in the book of Matthew 16 and 26, Jesus said, for what is a man to profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Let me ask you a question this morning. If you were to gain the whole world and you were to make all the money in the world and yet lose one of your children in a devil's hell, what would you have gained? It would have all been for naught. Well-ordered children bring us joy. For in the book of Proverbs 23 and verse 24, the Bible says that a righteous man has delight in his children, and his righteous children bring him joy. And the very next verse says, I think it's in the International Version, it just simply says, so make your father glad. It is important that we order the steps of our children in the right way. Too many times we leave it up to the world to guide our children. And I'm going to tell you something. They have an order for your children also. I always endeavor to make sure that my children had the privilege of being taught the will of God. Always made sure that they were taught the will of God. I wanted to bring my children up in the way that was right in the sight of God. I'm going to tell you why, folks. Someday I'm going to answer for my children. I'm going to answer for my responsibility for what I taught them. And it behooves all of us in this audience today to understand that time-honored principle of doing the same. But there's a second thing that you need to know. Not only order their steps in the right way, but order their steps in the Lord. In the book of Psalms 119 and verse 133, David said, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. David's saying, don't let the world dominate me, but let me be dominated and let me be governed by the will of Jehovah God. And I'll tell you right up front, that the ordering of the steps of your children begin with you as parents. It is the number one responsibility of the parent to teach their children about Jesus Christ. It is important. The journey begins here. It begins in the home. In the home. That's where it begins. It doesn't begin at the church. It doesn't begin down at the schoolhouse. It doesn't begin in the neighborhood, but it begins in the home. And someone has appropriately said, as the home goes, so goes the church. And as the home goes, so goes the nation. That's why we need to early in life start imbibing our children with that word of God. We need to do as Deuteronomy chapter 6 said, to teach them when you or with them in the morning when you awake, and teach them when you go to bed at night. Teach them when you walk with them in the day. Fear the Lord, the Bible says in Psalms 128, verse 1 through 6, and walk in His ways. Do what is right, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 40 says, and keep the commandments of God. How shall we order the steps of our children? Judges 13 and verse 8. Have you ever thought about it? In the book of Judges 13, 8, he says, teach me to observe and help me to teach my children to walk in thy way. Do you know that children will become the product of their parents? They will. Let me tell you how important it is for you to be a Christian. Now, if you want your children to become Christians, I'm going to tell you something. You need to be a Christian. If you want your grandchildren to be Christians, you ought to become a Christian and set the right example before your children. I know that to be true, for in the book of 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 41, look at the succession. The Bible says, so these nations feared the Lord and served their graven image, some of them did, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. Now, he's talking about succession here. If you want your children to be Christian, let me tell you something. You set the right example. If it doesn't matter to you whether they go to heaven or hell, just don't worry about it. But they will follow in your steps. Mothers need to teach their children, their daughters, about God. For the book of Ezekiel 16, verse 44 said, "As the mother, so is her daughter." The poet said, "A little girl follows me, a careful teacher I want to be. A little girl follows me, I do not dare go astray, for fear she'll go that selfsame way. I cannot once escape her eyes. Whatever she sees me do, she tries. Like me, she says she's going to be that little girl who follows me. She thinks that I'm good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me she must not see. The little girl who follows me. And I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, that I'm building for the years that be, for that little girl who follows me." And fathers, why fathers should teach their sons. For in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord." And the poet said, "Walk a little plainer, Daddy. Walk a little plainer, Daddy. Said a little boy so frail, I'm following in your footsteps, and I do not want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain, sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you're leading me. I know that once you walked this way many, many years ago. Sometimes when I'm tempted, I do not know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I have grown up, you are like I want to be. Then I will have been a little boy who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you." It is an awesome responsibility, my friend, that God has placed upon each and every one of us to teach and to train our children. But let me tell you something else that's so important for parents to understand, and don't miss it, folks. Thirdly, bring your children to worship. Bring your children to worship. The book of Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is." Do you see, helping your children develop a relationship with God is the most important thing that you can do in this world. And Jesus in the book of Matthew 19 and verse 14 said, "Let the little children come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And when we provide a time of worship on the Lord's Day and on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and we do not bring our children, folks, let me tell you something, we are denying our children. We are keeping them away from God. You can slice it any way you want to, but when you deny them the privilege and the opportunity to meet with the children of God and to be in a Bible class where they can come to Jesus, and you don't bring them, you will bear the responsibility. How will you answer God when He asks you in judgment, "Why did you forbid them to come to me?" Isn't that what Christ said? Don't forbid the little children to come to me. Sometimes parents are like those disciples who try to keep those children away from Jesus. What would you say to God when He asks you, "Why didn't you bring them to Bible class? Why didn't you bring them to worship? Why didn't you get them involved in youth activities that we provide?" You know, Blake and Brandy do a great job, and I'm going to tell you something. This afternoon, they're going to be working up here at the building. Can't be here tomorrow night for Monday night for the master, but they're going to be working up here this afternoon with the young people trying to do their part. I appreciate this young couple, and I appreciate what they do. But you know what? You and I, as parents, have a greater responsibility and that is to make sure that our children are here. You know, we make sure they're in school, public school, because we see the importance of that. Sometimes I wonder if we as parents recognize the importance of having our children involved in youth activities as well. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 12 says, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear. That they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God and observe all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God for as long as you live." Bring them to worship. But number four, teach your child the word of God. How much do you teach your children? Do you leave it up to the church to teach your children about God? Or do you do it? How much teaching goes on in your home? If I were to ask the kids in this church, how much teaching takes place at your home, what would they say? Deuteronomy 4 again says that we are to teach them daily. Let your children know, Joshua 4, verse 21 through 22. And only the Bible can give the answers to life. It is the book. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? These are questions that our young people are asking today. How do we answer them? Do we say, "Well, don't worry about that right now. I'll talk to you later about it." Psalm 78, verse 4 through 8 says, "We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders that He has done. He decreed statutes from Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commandments. That they would not be like the ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal unto God, whose spirits were not faithful unto Him." We ought to have fellowship in the Word of God. That's where our fellowship should be. Where God, listen, where God's Word meets your world. For Joel 1 and verse 3 says, "Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation." So you think teaching our children is unimportant? Listen again to what God says. How shall we order the steps of the child? Number five, be concerned about their future. I've talked to parents before and they say, "Oh, I'm concerned about my child's future. I want him to go off to the university and get a great education. Or I want my child to grow up and make a lot of money. I want them to be real popular." But what about their real future? What about going to heaven? Not just about the here and now, but what will be said and done in time to come. Tell your children that you want them to go to heaven by the grace of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. You see, if I have been a failure in teaching my children about God, I've been a failure. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty this morning. I think people can repent, and certainly all of us do. And there are times when all of us look back and we say, I wish I had done more. There was something maybe I could have done with my children. Hey, get it right with God before you leave this world. Be concerned about your children's future. You know what? I am so thankful that I had a mother and a daddy who were Christians, who were concerned about my future. They weren't concerned about me making a lot of money or becoming prominent or popular. That didn't even enter into the picture with my mom and dad. But you know what was important to them? Was the very thing that was important to God. And that was helping me get to heaven. They brought me into this world as a gift from God. And they wanted to make sure that I went to heaven. And it is the same aspiration that I have my children and my grandchildren and children that are yet to be born. But then, number six, withhold not correction from the child. I'm sure that when Manoah went before God and the angel of the Lord told him that he was going to have a son. And you remember the story of Samson, what a great man he was until he was deceived and the time of his death when he brought those pillars down. I'm sure that perhaps God says, you make sure, Manoah, that you bring that child up and you correct him when he does wrong. We live in a world today where the ACLU and other folks in our society do not believe in corporal punishment. I do believe in it. I believe in it because Jesus taught it, and I believe in it because the Holy Scriptures teach it. Withhold not the rod from the child. Many passages, Proverbs 23:13, Proverbs 19:18, Proverbs 13:24, Proverbs 22:15, Proverbs 29:15. We could go on and on to list all these up here this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. In essence, what they're saying is, if you love your child, you correct your child. You don't leave it for the school to do it. You don't leave it for someone else to correct your child. You don't send your child off to a correctional institution, but you do it at home. And never, ever, in that correction, never, ever miss an opportunity to tell your child, I love you. And it is not enough to tell your kids you love them. Let it be seen in the way that you treat those kids every day. Proverbs 23:13-14 says, do not withhold discipline from your child. If you punish them with a rod, they will not die. Punish them with a rod and save them from death. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Pretty bold, isn't it? But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. All these passages tell me you correct a child, folks. But then number seven, I'm sure that God said unto Manoah, you guard your children against evil influences. My mother and daddy used to tell me all the time when I was growing up, son, I don't want you running with the wrong crowd. I didn't know for a long time who the wrong crowd was. I thought maybe they would be carrying placards or something saying I'm the wrong crowd. I didn't know what they were talking about. But I learned that the wrong crowd will try to get me to do the things that are wrong. I learned that the wrong crowd are the folks who would induce me to violate God's law and to violate my conscience. I soon became acquainted with the wrong crowd. And I didn't want to run with the wrong crowd. I had no desire to be with the wrong crowd. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, "Be friends with those who are wise, and you will become wise. Choose fools to be your friend, and you will have trouble." You just observe it. Take note of it. The Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says that evil companionship will corrupt you. Let me tell you something else. Wrong is wrong even if everyone is doing it, and right is right if no one is doing it. Again, 1 Corinthians 15. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. I've seen a lot of, and through the years, I've had the opportunity to counsel with young people in this church. And I've had them come to me and saying, "You know, I had really good intentions of trying to lead my friend to Jesus. And you know what? I ended up letting him draw me away from God and from the church." It's not wrong to be among those who are not Christians, folks. I'm not saying that. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 that the disciples would be in the world but not of the world. God wants us out in the world, but not to be a part of the world, but to lead those who are in the world to Him. And you have to be very, very cautious. We need to take caution of peer pressure. That's true not only of young people, but it's true of all of us. Because I'm going to tell you something. The devil works through adults just like he works through children. We need to teach our children, however, the dangers of peer pressure. We need to teach our children how important it is to select the right kind of peers. Hillary Clinton said it takes a village to raise a child. Doesn't take a village to raise a child, but it does take godly parents in the church. Sometimes a village will lead our children down the wrong path. The church won't. Godly parents won't. We should prepare our children at some point to be baptized into Christ and become Christians. I don't know why parents can't talk to their children about that issue. We can talk to them about preparing to be cheerleaders and football players and basketball players and all kinds of things, but seemingly we never really talk to them about the most important thing, and that's becoming God's child in the act of baptism. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned," Mark 16, 15 and 16. We have to teach our children to reach up to the cross of Jesus. And when we fail to teach our children to reach in the right way, they will be reaching in the wrong way. And Manoah understood it. He didn't just determine to rear Samson in his own way. He went before God in Judges 13 and said, "God, teach me how to order the steps of my son." And to fail to rear our children in the way of God and tell them about God is a failure of epic proportion. As I said, I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty this morning. I know we all are. We all make mistakes. Even the best of parents make mistakes, I'm telling you, folks. But I hope that you'll endeavor, and many of you this morning are grandparents, and I hope this morning that you will help your children to begin teaching their children about God. You could have been a failure in one generation, but you know what? You can start with the second generation. Paul talks about Timothy and about his mother and his grandmother. And I know there's some wonderful grandmothers in this church who are trying to teach your grandchildren about God. And I thank God for you. And when we have done our best in trying to rear our children in the way of God, we should not feel guilt. I'm not trying to make anybody abnormally guilty this morning. But if we have not, may God help us to seek His forgiveness for our failure to do so. Our task is to rear our children. And it is not an impossible task. It's not. I've given you book, chapter, and verse preaching this morning. I know it's not always popular, but I'm telling you what I have told you this morning, I will be accountable to God for teaching. And I had rather please God than please men. Our task is to teach our children. And that task is not, as I said, impossible. It's not. Just remember that God has placed a child within your hand and in your care. And that the future of that child rests with the love, the guidance, the discipline, and the spiritual values that you place within it. For someday, and Manoah knew it. Manoah understood it. He knew that he would be held accountable for how he raised young Samson. And be assured, you and I are accountable for how we rear our children. Teach them about God. Impregnate their minds with the most important thing that you could ever put in their heart and in their mind, and that is the Word of God. And that they need become obedient to the faith. For that child someday will grow up. And what he does with his life or her life will largely be dependent upon what we put into the minds of our children. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, why would you not be? Why would you not set the example? After we've looked at all these scriptures this morning that talk about generation after generation after generation being loyal and faithful to God, why wouldn't you want to set the right example? And this morning, if you do, you want to become a Christian, to walk humbly before God and to do His will, and to set the right example before your children and your grandchildren and your children that will have children. May God help you to be the right example and to do the right thing. Maybe this morning you need the prayers of the church. Maybe you feel in your heart that you've made mistakes. And because of those mistakes, you seek the forgiveness of God. While we stand and while we sing.